takes vengeance on the Philistines. And what do we know? What do we know about the Philistines when Israel left Egypt? When they left Egypt, what do we know about the Philistines at that particular time? Number three, anybody know? This is number three. All right. God did not want Israel to go up through their territory at that time. Why, number two? They weren't ready to fight. Yeah, they were not people of war. And because, what was their main task in Egypt? Number one, multiply. Well, they did that, all right. But what was their main task? I mean, all right, they were made bricks and those kind of things. They weren't trained for war while they were there, basically. Okay. Well, you remember Samson had gone down to Timnath and he had married a young lady there and he had posed a riddle, and the riddle came from a lion. Anybody give me a rough idea of what it said? Out of the eater came forth sweetness, and out of the strong came forth meat or whatever. Anyway, it's close. All right, we know that he posed that riddle to some people who were at his wedding feast, you might say, and he told them that if they could guess his riddle, that he would give them 30 changes of clothes. And if they did not, then they would give him 30 changes of clothes. And they got very upset. The seventh day came around and they had done all their resources trying to figure it out and couldn't, and finally went to his wife and told her if she didn't tell them, find out what it was, they were going to do what? Back there in the grocery rear. What were they going to do to her? What were they going to do? All right, they were going to kill her and her, all of her family. They were going to burn them. Man, that was a serious threat. And so she found out what it was and told them. And now we find that Samson left very upset and he is about ready to come back again. And so he's going to take vengeance on them. It was harvest time and, it was about time to gather the wheat at that particular time, possibly May, June time frame, and Samson decides to go back and visit his wife. Well, there was a problem. When he got there, he was carrying her a present. I don't know how many of you women have ever had a goat for a present or a kid. Not many of you, I'm sure, but that's what was carried back then. That was a normal thing maybe for to carry a wife. A kid goat, but he did, and when he got there, he wanted to go into her room, and her father said, "No, you can't do that." Why? Why could he not go in? She had somebody else. She had been given the friend, or some versions say it was his companion at the wedding. We kind of probably say the best man, maybe. Yeah. And her father said, "Well, I thought you was angry with us." And he said, "Take her younger sister. You can do that. You know, take her younger sister. She's more beautiful anyway. Well, Samson was sure enough angry at this point. And now he said, I have the right to get even with these Philistines. So now he's going to take some vengeance on them. He said, I'll harm them this time. And Samson blamed his development, all of this, on the Philistines. They cheated trying to find out what the riddle was. So Samson goes out and he catches 300 foxes. I just never had an inclination to do that. You know, a fox is just not something you want to just handle. But he caught 300 of those things. That's just almost unreal to think about, catching 300 foxes. But he was going to use them, and he tied them together and put a firebrand, or a torch, you might say, between their tails and tied them together. And you can imagine foxes, you could imagine any kind of animal if you tied their tails together and a fire tied to it, what they would try to do. You know, one would try to go this way and one that way, and you couldn't. But wound up as they were running through the fields. He turned the animals loose through the standing grain fields. And during this time, you can just imagine what it would look like when those grain fields, if they were dry and ready for harvest, what kind of a fire it was. You know, they didn't have firemen on in every community back then, like we got today, which do a good job, by the way. But they ran through the fields, through the vineyards, the olive groves, and basically, they all burned. Here's just kind of a sketch of somebody made of what it might look like, him tying foxes together. And I saw this little picture and I thought, well, you know, this was a wheat field at one time, but this ain't nothing compared to what the fire they had. If you think about it, when it got going, there's no way to put it out. I mean, it just went on and on and on. And so, it wouldn't even compare with this kind of a fire. Today, that one would last about 5 minutes if the fire department got there, and it'd be done with. But the Philistines were very upset, and they wanted to know, they inquired, who did this? And somebody said, it was Samson. But they was afraid to confront him. Why? Why would they be afraid to confront little old Samson? He wasn't a little old Samson, was he? He'd already killed 30 people just to get their clothes, you know, way back, before this time anyway. And so instead, these people, the Philistines, went to the Timnites' home, and he burned him and his daughter. And that they were so mad that was the way they got back at Samson. Well, Samson, he was even more angry at this point. And so he said, now I'll not stop until I get my revenge. And so Samson is going to work at that. Now, what about us today? When we get upset like that, who's supposed to get revenge? Number one, God. Yeah. We turn that over to somebody else. We don't try to get revenge on people. But he attacked them and slaughtered many at that particular time. And he goes to a cave in the rock of Etam. And this was located between the Negev and the hill country of Judah. We find that in 1 Chronicles 4:32. The Philistines were now ready to fight the entire army of Israel over Samson's conduct, what he had done here. So they came and camped in Judah's territory, and Judah asked, why have you come to fight? What have we done? You know, we've been paying, what would they be paying? tribute. Yeah, taxes. Yeah. They were under their authority right now. So they were thought they were doing everything they were supposed to do. But there's approximately Etam, where it's located right there. And we're going to talk about where they camp. And it's going to be right up in this region right up here. And it's called Lehi. We have come to take Samson, as prisoner. That's what they told the people of Judah. And that we plan to do to him, as he did to us. We're gonna fix him up. And so Judah, was afraid to fight the Philistines. They weren't ready. They had not run all of them out as they were supposed to. You remember, they were supposed to have taken care of them to get them out of their area. They didn't do it. And, so now they're afraid of them. And 3,000 from Judah, they went to this cave to check on Samson to see what in the world's going on. So what was happening? Do you not realize that the Philistines rule over us? And, you know, it's hard to imagine somebody from Israel saying another nation rules over us. But they did at that time. So Judah wanted to know from Samson, what have you done? What have you done to cause these people to be so mad at us and want to fight us? So Samson said, I treated them the same way that they treated me. And so the men of Judah said, well, we've come to tie you up, hand you over to the Philistines. Well, Samson said, okay, you can do that. Now, you got to promise me one thing. What did he make them promise? Number three, not to attack him or kill him. That's what he was afraid that they might try to do, was to kill him. And so they said they would not. They swore that they would not kill him. And so they agreed to turn him over to the Philistines. So he allowed them to bind him with two brand new ropes. Ever been tied up with two brand new ropes? Never been tied up with rope here. I don't reckon. I don't remember. But they tied him up with two new ropes. And they started from the cave, led him to the camp of the Philistines. As they approached Lehi, and that's where they were camped. And I showed you that a while ago. And that's where they were camped. And so they saw him coming, and they were so happy. Judah was fulfilling what they wanted, bringing Samson to them. And so when Samson heard their shouting for joy, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he broke the ropes, and he slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey that was lying close by. How big is a jawbone of a donkey? Anybody thought about that? What, maybe that long? At most? Just a jawbone. You don't think of that as a tremendous weapon. And yet, Samson used it wisely and was able to slay 1,000 of the Philistines. All right. After the slaughter, he threw away the jawbone. He didn't need it anymore. But the place that they were at was called Ramath Lehi, or Jawbone Hill. And it, evidently it must have been something kind of in the shape maybe of a jawbone. I'm not sure. But anyway, Samson was very thirsty after he had done this deed, task. And he cried to God and said, you have given me a great victory. But now must I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the Philistines? You know, I am just give He was so weak that he needed something to revive him. And we read in verse 19 that God clave out a hollow place that was in the jaw, and I'm assuming that was in the rock there, that close to where he was at. And there came water out, and when he had drunk, his spirit came to him again. So he revived, wherefore he called the name thereof Enkakor. I guess that's what he pronounced it. Enkakor or whatever. This is, Lehi unto this day. And it means a fountain of springs. And so they assume that these springs kept flowing after this particular time. And Samson judged Israel for 20 years. So we find in chapter 16 that Samson goes down to Gaza to see a harlot. And you kind of question, why was he chosen to do these tasks and use these tactics, you might say. But it was because God wanted to do what? How was God going to use him to afflict the Philistines? Yeah. And so God uses people in their circumstances sometimes, whether they're right or wrong, they're used by God for a certain task that he wants done. But the men of Gaza were sure that they had him, and they wanted to hurry and close the gates and have him locked in. He could not get out now, you know. So they at sunrise will be ready to catch him, and he won't get away this time. Well, Samson didn't stay till sunrise. He got up at midnight. He found the gates locked, and he just picked up the gates, the posts, and all, throw them on his shoulder now. I don't know if you think about a city with gates, but they weren't made out of plywood, 3/8 plywood or whatever it might be. These were made out of big timber. And Samson just picked that whole works up, set it on his shoulder, and carried it to the top of a hill up towards Hebron. Enormous strength would be required to take that gate, pull it up out of the ground to begin with, and unhitch it from the walls or however it was tied. With the weight of the gate on him, I'm sure he left some footprints. He could probably be followed across most any place. But anyway, those that were waiting in ambush never heard Samson during the night. They didn't hear anything going on. And don't ask me. I can't tell you how he pulled them gates up and took off and wasn't heard. They must have been some sound sleepers. I don't know. But they thought they thought he would stay all night at the harlot's house, but he did not. Samson in verse 3 says that he lay till midnight and he rose up, took the doors of the gates of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulder, carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. It could be El Monthor, which lies somewhere east of Gaza, kind of to the southeast. Some think that it was close to Hebron. Samson loved another woman named Delilah. And did he follow the same pattern with this lady as he did with the one before? We don't know for sure. It doesn't say that Delilah was a harlot, but everything kind of points in that direction that he would go and see her. But she lived in the valley of Sorek, and it was located in the Shephelah, or the series of hills and valleys just west of the hill country of Judah. The Philistines heard how Samson was infatuated with Delilah. It doesn't say he loved her. It doesn't say he had any kind of relations with her. So we can't say for certain that he did. But if he followed his other pattern before, than he may have. The leaders came to Delilah and told her to persuade Samson to tell what his great source of strength was. And in the process, we want to know so we can bind him and oppress him. He's just been a pain for the Philistines up to this point. He's killed a lot of them. And so they said, if you can find it out, we'll give you 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah seems to go along with their scheme to figure out, you know, what his great strength was. In Joshua, it tells us that there were five lords of the Philistines, and they were from Ashdod, Gath, Ekron, Ashkelon, and Gaza, and each of them actually promised her 1,100 pieces of silver. She would have been a wealthy woman, and may have turned out to be that. I'm not sure. Doesn't say they actually paid off. But Delilah would have been a wealthy woman. She went right to work on Samson and said, tell me why you are so strong and how can you be bound? Well, Samson, you know, this is not something you just want to tell everybody, but he replies, will you bind me with 7 new bowstrings, never dried, and I'll be a weak man. That just doesn't make sense to me. But anyway, he'd already broken those 2 ropes, you know, new ropes. But Philistines also, they brought the bowstrings and tied him up and cried, the Philistines are coming. And he just jumped up and broke them just like they was a piece of bread. Well, she got on to him again. And so the next thing he said, well, bind me with 7 green withes. And that was something that was made from the sinew of animals. And that was not the right answer either, because he broke them as well. Samson seemed to be playing a little game with Delilah and the Philistines at this point. And you can kind of understand where he was. He didn't want to tell where his strength lied. I mean, he was using that to afflict the Philistines. But she increased her pleading. You're just mocking me. You lied to me. Tell me the truth. And you can just see how she would nag. Is that what you want to say? Nag him? To get him to tell what it was? Well, he said, use new ropes. It's never been used. Tie me up and I'll be weak. So Delilah tells the Philistines, says they're coming. He jumps up, breaks the ropes, just like everything else. And then you've done nothing but make fun of me. And then he tells her to weave the 7 locks of my hair. Weave them into a web. And I think they were actually still tied to the weaver's beam or something like that. And so she did that and said, the Philistines are upon you. And so Samson jumped up and took the weaver's beam and all, and didn't bother him at all. So how can you love me and treat me like this? So finally, Samson told her the secret. He said, my hair has never been cut. And she could tell that he actually told her the truth this time. If I were shaven, I would become weak, just like other men. So Delilah, while he slept in her lap, she cut his hair, and she cried to Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He thought when he got up, it would be just alike, like he was before, but quickly realized he did not have any strength, and Jehovah had departed from him. He didn't have the Lord on his side anymore. What had he broken? The Nazarite vow. That was the vow that was taken, that he could not cut his hair. The Philistines seized him. They put out his eyes. He became a blind man from then on. They put him in shackles and made him grind in the prison house. They had to grind wheat or barley or whatever it was. And they failed to notice during this particular time that his hair began to grow. Now, would he automatically have reinstated his Nazarite vow with his hair growing? No. That's not what it was. But it was him asking God to do something. And we'll look at that in a minute. Samson renewed his vow to God that so he could get his strength back. He prayed to God. He was meek and he wanted one last chance to do something to the Philistines. So they had a great feast. They were celebrating the fact that they had captured Samson. And this must have been a while after they had captured him because his hair had already started to grow long. And God has, the Philistines had a great feast and they celebrated catching Samson. God, our God has delivered Samson to us. What was their God's name? Philistine's God. Anybody remember? Dagon. Very good. Thank you. Very good. Dagon. And they attributed his capture to their God. They lingered long at the wine at this feast, and many were drunk. And we find that they cried out, "Bring out Samson so he can entertain us." And some versions say making sport. In other words, they wanted to really show off that we've got the man, you know, that really been a burden to us. So these words usually refer to something like dancing or whatever. And Samson was placed between the pillars of the temple. And he told the lad, "Let me feel the pillars so I can lean against them." Those pillars must have been close enough that he could touch both of them or reach around them or whatever it was. You know, it's not every day that I get to do a drawing like that, but it's something similar in structure to that with those pillars right in the middle, evidently. Now, whether that's exactly what it was, I couldn't say. But you take those two pillars out, what's going to happen to that roof? It's going to come down, isn't it? People who work with construction know a little bit about that. And so that's what happened. The men, the people that was on the roof all fell, and there was 3,000 that died when that roof fell. The men of Dan came and took Samson's body because it died. He died when the roof caved in, as well as 3,000 of the Philistines. And it says that he killed more in his death than he did during his lifetime. But they came and buried him between Zor and Eshcol, in the burying place of Manoah, where his father was from. Samson judged Israel for 20 years, and now we leave the judges, we skip Ruth, and we'll take up the story of Eli and Samuel this coming Lord's Day. And Jimmy will take over with that. Now, there's the place of Samson's burial in that region right there between Zor and Eshcol. Okay, now we got a few minutes. We want to see if you still remember the 17 periods. All right, let's begin with the first one. Before the flood, scattering of the people, patriarch, Exodus, come on now, y'all wake up. Exodus, wandering in the wilderness, invasion, conquest, Judges, United Kingdom, Divided Kingdom, Judah alone. Captivity. We're getting harder. Return from captivity. Years of silence. Life of Christ. Early church. Now we're on the downhill slide. Life. Early church. Life. Letter to the Christians. All right. And we want to remember these to help you in your studies. And if you're teaching next quarter, help these students to learn these things. All right, the judges. We remember, can we say the judges? Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jair, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, Samson, Eli, Samuel. Some of you didn't say. That's all right. Learn them. They'll help you in your study. Now, as we think, we're gonna be talking, like I said, we're gonna be studying the stories of Eli and Samuel coming up on the Lord's Day. And these will be taken from 1 Samuel. And then we're gonna come back to the book of Ruth after that. And study Ruth. And the last couple of chapters of Judges along with that. And at the end of next quarter, we've actually got 24 lessons this quarter, and we're going to have two reviews. I'm supposed to do Joshua, and Jimmy's going to do all the rest of it. So, but what you want to remember is we want to try to get all this stuff in our minds and remember it, because I happen to have 48 slides that I can put up there that's got questions. It's got about 4 questions per slide. And it begins with Abraham and goes all the way through the judges. And it asks pertinent questions, and all you have to do is just fill in the blank. And I'm not sure I'm going to use that, but I just might. It would give us a good review to go over that, so it's a possibility I'll do that. But I'm not sure we could do all that in one session. I might could do like up through Joshua, and then maybe Jim do the other. We're not sure exactly what we're going to do on that just yet. But remember this about Samson. We know that he was a man of faith. When did that occur in his life? We see it exemplified at the end, Rob says, and that would be when he asked God to give him his strength back. And so, I feel like they're probably right, that that's when his faith would shine forth. All right, anybody got a question that you'd like to have answered? We just got like a few minutes. They did bring the money, okay. Good. Okay, good. Thank you. They brought the money. The Lord's came and brought the $1,100 1,100 pieces of silver each. That would have left her to be a wealthy woman. Yes, right. Okay. Mm-hmm. I guess you can push them out. If Scott was saying that he looked up and found that that was a normal design for Philistine temples back in those days, and that those center columns would be somewhere close to 6 foot apart, where you could just, if you was man enough, you could just push those out like that, maybe. And I knew my drafting was really good, because he said that that was the very typical thing, that the roofs were actually held up by those two posts, and when they came down, then the whole roof would come down with the 3,000 people there that were killed. He also mentioned that the time while Samson was thirsty, that he relied on God at that time too, and so there his faith would be brought back to God as well. He had been faithful to keep the Nazarite vow, so right up to the end, basically, before he divulged to Delilah. All right. Anybody else got a question or comment? Appreciate so much your attention and your comments tonight. And I hope we've answered all of your questions that you had tonight. All right. Thank you all so much.